Let's pray. Oh Lord, what a blessing that you bring poor sinners together to gather around the mercy seat, asking for mercy and grace with the full assurance that you are a most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, and Jesus Christ. Bless us, we beg this morning. Help us to find Christ. Help us to learn something concerning our Savior. Give us grace. Open our ears, our eyes, our mouths, that we might declare and hear something concerning Christ Himself this morning. Bless us, we beg. Make your presence known to each soul here. For these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen. John chapter 2. Christ has just cleaned out the temple. He had scourged the sellers of animals, oxen, and doves, the money changers, the money lenders, and he's just cleaned house in his house. And the Jews ask him, by what authority do you do this? And here is where we pick up. Then answered the Jews and said to him, what sign showest thou unto us, seeing that thou dost these things? You cleaned out the temple. Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Then said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in the building. Wilt thou raise it up in 3 days? But he spoke of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. So here is a picture of Christ Him crucified, described in terms of destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up. Now, in the scripture, there are physical temples, scriptural temples, and what I call spiritual temples. All pointing as a schoolmaster to Christ. A temple is the dwelling place of Christ. And in the Old Testament, it points to, I will dwell, or I will temple among my people, and they will be my people, and I shall be their God. So this temple that Christ is concerning about in this scripture is his temple. In all scripture, if you look at first chapter of Romans, it makes a statement that all natural and physical things, and I'm going to include temples in this, point to Christ. And Romans 1 says, the invisible things of God from his creation of the world are clearly seen and understood by the things he created, even his eternal power and Godhead, meaning Godhead meaning essential being and the nature of God. All that may be known of God is manifest. So everything that we see, we hear, that we read, is sure and certain, made, created, and occurs, appointed by God Almighty. And I don't care what it is. What he says, my creation declares, it's a witness, it's a testimony of who I am and what I am. Everything that he created. I'm going to extend that a little bit further. Let me read a couple of scriptures that support that just from one standpoint, just from heaven. Psalms 19:1. The heavens declare the glory of God. And the firmament shows His handiwork. All that is saying is everything that God created declares His glory. Psalms 97:6. The heavens declare His righteousness, and all the people see His glory. Now, how blind we are. It is a picture of the blindness of the hearts and minds and souls of men. With the Lord said, everything that I created declares my glory, my righteousness, everything. And we don't see it. And Paul goes on to say, we are without excuse. But it's because of our blindness. Now let me take this one step further and look at physical things and spiritual things. What are the four things necessary for life? Oxygen. Each physical thing has a counterpart in the spiritual things. Air. Absolutely essential. Think. Spiritual. The breath of life. The breath of God in our souls. Water. Fountains freely flowing with water that when you drink, you never thirst again. Food. Manna. Living bread. The Word of God. Shelter. The house of God. The temple of God. The abode of God. And all I'm saying is those things that we see every day declare something concerning the mercy and grace of God and Christ. We're so blind we can't see it. Yet every one of us experiences it. Physical things in His creation declares, testifies, and is a witness to Christ Himself. They point to Christ. They're schoolmasters to Christ. And we see it and experience it every day. I'm going to talk about shelters. And to do that, this may be not a good way to do it. How many in here have ever heard the story of the three little pigs? One made a house of straw. One made a house of sticks. One made a house of bricks. I'm talking about the shelters. And I want to relate it to the temple of Christ. We naturally, if we place our confidence and trust in straw, the big bad wolf comes along and blows it down. If you make it of sticks, the big bad wolf comes along and blows it down. So what do? You take it and say, well, we'll make it out of bricks. And make it so strong that it can't blow it down. And to me, that is a description of religion. Natural religion. People put their confidence, their faith, and trust in something that completely collapses. So what does religion do? We will build our creeds, our doctrines, and everything we believe on something that's lasting, something like bricks. And they do it. We have temples. We have cathedrals. We have these magnificent churches. We have mosques. We have synagogues. We have all those things. Why? Because just like the three little pigs, they build their religion upon something that is permanent and substantial. But it's still not Christ. It's themselves. You can go to some towns and there's so many churches that you can't even hardly count them. If you go to state, only count to 10, and you got 12 churches there, I know you can't count them. But it is an attempt of natural man to develop their own temple, their own type of worship, their own place of worship. And they have just as much confidence as three little pigs did in that brick house. It's something that can't be blown over. Scriptural temples. The first scriptural temple is a tabernacle. And it was a tabernacle that was designed and directed to be built by God Himself to Moses. It was made out of skins and linen and wood, and it was portable. So here is the physical side of that tabernacle. Now, this tabernacle was the house of God. It was built under the command of God. And it had all the washing, the cleansing, the ceremonies, the continual sacrifice, all those things. And this pattern of worship was revealed by God to Moses. And the central part of that was what? The sacrifice. It's a testimony to the shed blood of Christ. So here is a scriptural temple that has a spiritual aspect to it and a physical aspect. And these offerings before the Lord were done continually. What was God's purpose in that? I will tabernacle with my people on this earth. I will commune with you. I will meet with you. I will speak with you. And it is a picture of Christ coming to the earth, the Word made flesh. And it starts with the first tabernacle. Now, this tabernacle when it looks at the sacrifice, the sprinkling of blood on the altar, and it says, for all the transgression, sin, and iniquity of this people, and he says, it's for a statute forever for this generation. Meaning these sacrifices were designed to show the forgiveness of sin by the shedding of blood and the sprinkling of blood on that altar. It's a schoolmaster saying, look to Christ. It's a prophecy. Christ is coming to tabernacle with his people. Exodus 40:35. What was in that tabernacle? The glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. The glory of God in the form of the pillar of a cloud. What made that tabernacle spiritual? The presence of God tabernacling with his people. When you see the glory of the God, the brightness of God, what does it mean? It's a picture of Christ. I will show you the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. So here is Christ, the purpose for the tabernacle, so they commune and talk and be with his people to forgive their sins through the shedding of blood, and they saw the glory of God in a physical form now, in a bright cloud, and it filled that tabernacle. And this was the presence of God. Psalms 118:5. What was the worship in this tabernacle? The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle. What is that about salvation? It's in Christ. So this tabernacle is a picture of Christ. Leviticus 26:11. The Lord says, I will set my tabernacle among you. Again, speaking concerning Christ himself. All these pictures were saying the Word will be made flesh. God will come in the form of a man, and He will tabernacle and live with you. And you will rejoice in His salvation and sing praises to His name. The next tabernacle was Solomon's tabernacle. Now, if you want to see a strong building, look to Solomon's tabernacle, made of huge blocks of stone. And it was so beautiful with gold and silver and all these vessels. And it was in my opinion, should have been classified as a world's great wonder. It was so beautiful. But here is the first temple. And it's Solomon's temple. Now, this temple was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar. It was rebuilt by Cyrus. And when Christ came on this earth in the form of a man, this rebuilt temple was the temple that in John 9 He just cleaned out. The same temple. And to show you how blind we are, when He said He would destroy this temple and build it again in 3 days, He said, it took 46 years to build this thing. Thinking physical, and here is Christ thinking spiritual and declaring spiritual things. So this temple came when, guess what? God was tabernacling with His people when Christ came. Now, was this temple forever? Nope. In 70 A.D., Cyrus took all the vessels and everything that were in Babylon that Nebuchadnezzar put in Babylon and brought back, and they built the temple back up just as close as they could to its original structure. In 70 A.D., the Romans destroyed that temple. And the Scripture says, Matthew, Mark, and Luke make this statement, "Behold this great building," meaning the temple, "there shall not be one stone left upon another that shall not be thrown down." All right, now, we have no temple. There is no physical temple on the face of this earth that they can call God's house. And do we have temples? Absolutely. The Mormons have temples. And to get in there, you got to put on a special set of underwear and a special cloak and go through washings, the same thing the Jews did to get into their temple. And they call that a temple. And they call that, this is where God comes and communes with us. Look at the Roman Catholic cathedrals. All the stained windows and the frescoes and the paintings and all those things, they think themselves to be some type of structure, I'll call them temples, where Christ comes. Nope. Christ called all the temples that were pointing to Him to be destroyed. Why? Because there was absolutely no need whatsoever for a temple. The temple is in Himself. The temple is here. God, in the form of Christ, is tabernacling with His people. And He destroyed it purposely. How much did He destroy it? Not one stone left upon another. Completely totally destroyed. Why? As a testimony to us, there's no such thing as a temple of God made with the hands of man. I am that temple. And His statement, "I will destroy the temple in 3 days and raise it up," He was saying, look at me if you want to see a temple. Look at me in my sacrifice. Look at me when I shed my blood. Look at me when I'm resurrected. I am the temple. Simple, complete, and in my opinion, it's final. No temple. The temple was schoolmasters to point us to Christ. When Christ comes, there is no need for a temple. He is our dwelling place, and He made Himself a temple for what purpose? For you, for me, and all His sheep. That's where we live. That's where we abide, in this temple, which is a person. It's Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:11. Christ being come, and high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, not of this building. Those temples and that tabernacle were good for the purpose that God intended. Look to Christ, is what they were saying. Now that He's come, a greater and more perfect tabernacle. Not made with hands. Not man's hand could not do anything to make this temple. In fact, we have scripture says, don't put a tool on these stones, because if you do, you corrupt it. Same meaning here. Man's hands are so corrupted, they cannot make a physical temple that can give the essence of God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. Can't do it. And if they try it, they contaminate it. Because this temple, again, is not made by man's design, not his imagination, not his anything. These hands are made by God Almighty and cannot be contaminated with man's hand. In Hebrews 8:2, he talks about a true temple which the Lord pitched and not man. And all it's saying is, this temple is spiritual. This temple is holy. This temple is righteous. This temple is the glory of God Almighty in the person of Jesus Christ. And yet we still have our temples. 2 Corinthians 5:1. We have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in heaven. Why did God destroy the second rebuilt temple? Not one stone left upon another stone? To show that it's temporal. It's temporary. His temple, His spiritual temple, He says, it's eternal. It is spiritual. It is forever. It is eternal. What is Christ as our temple? What does that mean to you and to me? Romans 12:5. We, being many, are one body in Christ. We are in that temple. We are one body. We are united spiritually with Christ into a single structure. What is that structure? It is the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's called the church. It's called His people. It's called His elect. All those sinners that He calls is one body, united equally in Christ. One body in Christ. Where is our abode? Where do we live? In Christ. That's our temple, our spiritual temple. Colossians 1:18. He is, Christ, is the head of the body. This body that we're in is absolutely, utterly controlled by the head, just like our physical bodies, our brain. Christ is the head. He had the preeminence. He's the firstborn. He's all those things in His body, which is the temple. Now, in this temple, in this body, which is in Christ, and Christ is the head, Colossians 2:10, we are complete in Him, which is the head. What does that mean? Complete. It means perfected in everything that God requires of us in Christ. So united with that body, we are one. One in that body, in Christ. Colossians 2:19. The head. Again, Christ is the head of the body. From which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered, and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Just that one verse. All the body, and with the joints and the bands, having nourishment, ministered. What does that mean? We are constantly given mercy and grace to nourish our souls in that temple. Why? Because we're one. We're united with Christ. Everything that our soul needs is fed by the mercy and grace of God in Christ in this temple. And just listen to the words. Knit together. Can't separate it. God has knit all of us, every child of God, knit together with holy knitting needles and holy thread, knit us together in Christ. And it doesn't stop there. Increasing with the increase of God. Grace multiplied by grace multiplied by grace multiplied. And you keep going on an infinite number of those multiplications. It increases to the same extent degree that God increases. That's how united we are in Christ. Our temple. That's where we're nourished. That's where we live. That's where our security is. Our trust, our faith, our hope, our peace, our reconciliation, and you can name any other thing that requires, God requires to be in His presence. And as He increases, and Rupert, I understand how He can increase. He's already everything. But whatever this is, God says we are increased with the increase of God. Another spiritual aspect of this temple. Christ is called the foundation stone, the chief cornerstone of this building. That's a physical thing, again, with a spiritual meaning. Somebody said, well, your temple won't last as long as one of the pyramids because it's built out of them rocks. They've been there for 2,000 years. But here's a picture. When Christ says, I am a spiritual stone. I am a spiritual chief cornerstone. Then we can say, oh, our temple is made out of stone. A eternal spiritual stone. And what is that stone? It's the person of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 2:15. You also, as lively stones, and another interpretation that is living stones, are built upon a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What do we do in that temple? We worship and praise God Almighty. Offering spiritual sacrifice. What kind of sacrifice? Spiritual sacrifice. God-given spiritual sacrifices of mercy and grace. And then he says, when you worship spiritually, I accept that worship in Jesus Christ. Our worship is in the temple. The temple is Christ. What do? We praise and sing honor and glory to his mercy and his grace. And God says, I accept that. I am satisfied in Jesus Christ. I'm satisfied with this worship. I'm satisfied because you are in my temple, my son. You're in Christ. He is our temple. John 15:4 says, abide in me, and I in you. And that's what being knit together means. It is a union performed by God Almighty. And he says, you abide or you live in me, and I live in you. What does Christ see when he looked at us? He sees his temple. He sees Christ. I abide in you as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. What he's saying is, here is an abiding place, an abiding person, and without your abiding in him, you are nothing. You cannot do anything. You cannot even breathe. You can't see. You can't walk. You can't understand. You can't hear. You can't do anything. Because without this abiding and knitting together of his people in himself, we can do nothing. So here is the blessing. The blessedness of our tabernacle, our temple. What should our prayer be? Oh, may I be found in him. May he find me in Christ, my temple. May he find in his temple the mercy and grace of God. May he find me in Christ so I can be accepted, all based on the work of God. And I'll end it by this song. Rupert, I don't remember what the name of the song is. Oh, the love that sought me. Oh, the blood that bought me. And oh, the grace that brought me to the fold. And I'm going to change that word fold to a temple and tabernacle. The love that sought me, the blood that bought me, and the grace that brought me to the fold, to the tabernacle, to the temple. Wondrous grace that brought me to this temple, this tabernacle, to the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ is our temple. And I'll stop right here, but you can say Christ is our sacrifice, Christ is our altar, Christ is our everything. And pray that he gives us the grace to keep that in our spiritual minds at all times. Thank you.